What it is, what it do, welcome back to Fresh Take and our NBA podcast. We're about to roll here with Elle Platts as we are getting ready to introduce her. She's the newest member of FTN. So we recorded this NBA pod and just editing it at night, and obviously the games had transpired as we're going to put this podcast up on the 6th for all of you to listen. And obviously now, as some of you know, the Draymond Green situation has transpired where he struck Jordan Poole for calling him a triple single during, it appears to be a one-on-one match. So a lot of stuff coming out of that with Draymond. Everyone knows there's a contract here for Draymond. So we will talk more about this going forward. Just wanted to note that are aware of it. This is why it didn't get talked about, because it just happened as the editing process was going on. Cheers. Enjoy the pod, people.
You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
Welcome to Fresh Take, Joshua Adam, William Arbuthnot. We are ready for the NBA season here at FTN, and we have our newest member of the FTN squad, Ellery Platt. What is going down?
I'm just so excited, man. Like, preseason's got me hyped. Being in new sports got me hyped. Just coming off CBL got me hyped. I just can't wait for more basketball.
And a great end to the WNBA season too, right? And we got to see just a great WNBA season. Got to see the end of Sue Bird, which was rough.
I'm fine. I'll recover someday.
Yeah, I mean, I think other than the Brittany Griner thing, it was a really great WNBA season, and we're starting to really get some good young stars. And I think Sabrina, she's starting to show her own and take that leap to the next level. And then the women, the American team looked great in the worlds, and Kia finally got to be back in the court for Canada after everything she's had to deal with, her injuries. So that was really great.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about the whole Brittany Griner thing. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, like, as awful as everything she had to go through went, I, in a weird way, think it was good for the WNBA because it brought so much media to so many people that aren't just looking at sports media. And it just introduced a bunch of people that might not have had any idea what
the WNBA is about. Isn't that the worst part for the WNBA? Like, that the most attention they got was during the pandemic for being the most socially aware. Yeah. And then, you know, now for this Brittany Griner thing. And then those orange hoodies, you know, that's kind of, that was the introduction for Ellery and I, her rocking the orange hoodie. I have my own orange hoodie. I think when a lot of basketball, true basketball fans, and they see that orange hoodie, it's kind of like a secret code. You know, you know, like you have like a lot of your black friends, they got that nod when they see each other, like real represent, recognize real. It's kind of like that when you see someone with that WNBA hoodie, it's like, yo,
yeah,
okay, you're a deep, real basketball fan. You're not just a bandwagon jumper. You're a real fan repping the WNBA, because that hoodie kind of associates all of that with it.
Oh, for sure. And even like because I work with so many kids, like kids that can recognize that that's WNBA from the get-go. I'm like, yeah, you're a good one. You can stick around. You're fine.
Yeah. So it's a great WNBA season. Now we get to see the likes of Candace and Kia get to kill it on TV now and do some breakdown of the NBA game. So we needed our own Kia and we needed our own Candace. So we got Ellery now on this. Go forward. With the NBA shows, we don't know what the regularity, I mean, it'll be weekly, but I don't know what the days are going to be on. And well, you know, we won't just talk about NBA. With us both in the U Sport world, we may break down some U Sport stuff time to time. We're on opposite sides right now in the city of Calgary in the Crow Child Classic, which we'll break down more in the future. But speaking of games in Canada, Ellery, you had a chance to go to the Raptors' first preseason game as they took on one of the leaders for Victor Wembanyama and the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
And just kind of talk about the experience of Edmonton hosting it and the Raps in themselves.
It was really interesting. Like, I don't, being with Edmonton with the CBL all summer, like that was one kind of basketball fandom, basketball experience, but the Raptors are a completely different level and their event hosting itself is a completely different level. And it was packed like crazy. Yeah. But I don't know. It was almost just like everyone is excited for a sport, but like the in-game energy wasn't what I wanted it to be. Like everyone was just excited to be there, but I don't know how many people were like pumped about basketball, but I think it was a good way of getting people to see that it's exciting. It's amazing. And I think it'll honestly benefit the Stingers in the future.
Yeah.
Because like now people have seen basketball and they know basketball is in Edmonton and the Stingers were there. They were advertising. Like nice. It was good. But like, it's amazing. Like seeing those guys and like seeing them like show up and just even how they host events in comparison to like U Sports, CBL, like all of that, like there's something going on all the time, like off in the crowds, like they've got their like dance team going around, handing things out, trying to get people hyped, like walking around, like there's fire, there's sparks, there's their mascot running around with the flag all the time. Like it was crazy. And the game itself was obviously the Raptors blew out Utah. I don't know. Like, it was like the first half, I was like, oh no, I think the Raptors underestimated the Jazz. And I think with the loss of Donovan Mitchell, they thought that it was going to be a little bit of a different game. But I think the Jazz are trying to find a way to step into that gap and find a new leadership role that way.
Yeah.
So the Raptors almost seemed like set back and confused for the first half. But the second half is like a whole different squad, and they just were connecting, they were making their shots. Like I remember texting you during the game saying that first half I was like, does nobody know how to play any perimeter defense? Like, does anybody know how to make a pass? Like, boys, let's go back to training camp, because this is not the team that I want to see and I expected to see. But that's my little ramble to start.
No, I love it. My concern for the Raps is they have so many guys that are the same size that do a lot of the same thing, right? Like two of their biggest acquisitions they brought in Otto Porter. It was a great deal. Luckily, you know, it pays when you have these NBA players whose wives are Canadian, because that's the main reason Otto Porter came to Toronto. But, you know, coming up in an NBA champion with the Dubs, I think that's huge. How big of a reception did Bo Cruz, Mr. Herman Gomez, get when he stepped in?
It was so funny because I completely forgot he was playing for the Raptors. And I was like, holy shit. I was fired up. And honestly, like, he put up a pretty good performance. And you're right, like, most of the Raptors are kind of the exact same size. They're all 6'7", 6'8", somewhere around 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, they're all the same. And then you just see him roll in. Like, I think it's funny, like, it was almost like you can see who real basketball fans are. Like, when you were saying with the WNBA hoodie, like, the people that watch basketball were like, hell yeah, like, bring out Bo, like, let's see Hernando Gomez, like, let's go. And everyone else was like, this is some dude, like, I don't know who that is, I guess. But it was funny, like, his first sub on, it was, like, some people were pumped, like, there was, like, noise. But then, like, the people that were sitting beside us were like, I was like, no, you don't know. You
can watch Stranger Things and get pumped up about running up a hill, but you can't get pumped up about Bo Cruz? Come on.
No, but it just shows, like, who's seen the movie Hustle, realistically? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I think he had a great Euro season. I mean, his brother got the MVP of the run there, but he had a great final game. I think he'll make the roster there. And he'll add some depth there. I mean, the Raptors don't have that true center. They have enough of those type of guys. I don't think they really need that true center. And I think in that Philly series, one of the things that killed him was Embiid.
Yeah.
Well, at least with Juan Herman Gomez, and that's probably the last I'm going to call it. I'm just going to call him Bo Cruz the rest of the year. At least with him, you know, he can just play decent defense and pick up six fouls against a guy like Embiid if they need be in the final in the playoffs next time.
No, for sure. Like, I think I don't know about you, but I'm going to be watching their preseason against the Celtics tonight. And it's going to be one of those things that, like, you're going to be watching how he composes himself, how he steps up, like, if he can draw those fouls, like, if he can keep his energy and his skills up throughout the whole, like, his entire shifts, right? But,
well, that's,
like,
what you're watching
in
preseason.
It,
Right?
Oh,
You're watching for the little things.
absolutely.
You don't give a crap about the wins. Like, the Lakers got blown up by 20 points. I don't fucking care.
No,
we were
you
winning
just
at the
want to see
half.
These recruits, right?
Anthony Davis looked like Anthony Davis, which I was all I cared about. And Russ looked a little bit more lively and played like the Russ that I anticipated, right? Like, he's stuck on my team. So let's go. Braun looked off, but Braun's allowed to have an off day. So going back to the Raps, it's like, yeah, they kind of had to shrug it off and kind of figure it off at first. I thought Siakam looked a little bit shaky. Scotty, who knows what it's going to be this year? Is Scotty going to take that next jump, or is he going to have a sophomore slump like Jason Tatum did?
Yeah. And I mean, with Russ, for example, looking a little bit better, I think part of it is now he for sure has that support from the team. Like, the Lakers came out and said they weren't going to get rid of him because they wanted to give him that chance to step in, chance to like relax, chance to mesh with the team properly. And having that kind of support means a lot, obviously. But yeah, you're right. Like, with all these Raptors guys and all these young guys, like, preseason is obviously not like a foreshadow of how the year is going to go whatsoever. But it's nice to see like which guys are going to take the initiative to be able to step up and who's actually going to be able to perform, who really wants it. And like Scotty during the game in against Utah, his first half, I was like, this is not rookie of the year. Like, he wasn't making passes, he wasn't connecting. He wasn't thinking like anything, but then it was like a switch clicked in the second half and he brought it. Like, he looked way better. But one of my friends was doing broadcast for the game, and he said, like, as soon as the game ended, Scotty just like got up, left as soon as he could, got on the first bus out and like dipped. So I was like, interesting. I wonder if like he's also maybe not so happy with his first half performance. Like, and I hope, like, I want him to keep pushing, keep demonstrating that he is skilled. I think he could, because he is so young. Like, it's coming from Florida State, like, he's young, he's gonna perform, and I really want him to like be able to be like a solid member of the Raptors for years to come and be able to like build with them, maybe even be like a core member that they build off of, especially, you know, he's kind of the size, he's got a lot more like build than a lot of the guys on our team, right? So they need a little bit more weight under the rim and in the paint, and I think he'll be good for that. So,
the expectations are so high for him too. Like you're saying, like, this is the guy that there was a debate this summer: is he worth trading for Kevin Durant? Right? And people are like, you can trade everybody, but don't trade Scotty, right? And last night we had the G League showcase with Scoot Henderson and Victor Wembanyama, and there was the whole debate: like, who would you not trade right now for Scoot Henderson? Not for Scoot, for Scoot or for Victor Wembanyama. Like, who would you not trade to jump to the top of the draft? And Scotty was one of those names that was around. I personally would trade Scotty for Victor Wembanyama. French Vic. I'm going to butcher that name all year. That name is going to kill us. It's the new Antetokounmpo.
Oh,
you almost have to go right away with Wembanyama. You
just speed through it and hope nobody.
You
got
to go right away to it. But watching him last night, I'm like, yeah, I think I would trade Scotty Barnes for Vic. But Scotty definitely is at that level right now where he has a chance to really propel himself into, at minimum, a top 20 NBA player this year. I mean, Bill Simmons and Zach Lowe today were doing their show, and they were talking about who would be the most surprising team and first to be the top team in the East, at least regular season-wise. And then both are like, would the Raptors be a surprise? And both of them said no. Because, you know, you look at where it is, like, they wouldn't be surprised because the Raptors have such good continuity. The Bucks are going to just kind of chill. The Celtics have all the issues going on with Ime Udoka, and Robert Williams is hurt. And, you know, what's going on with the Nets, the Heat, who knows? They're up and down, right? So the Raptors are a prime candidate to, you know, roll off a 55-53 win season, be at top of the first, potentially roll out two All-Stars this year for the first time since Kyle and DeMar. They've had one every single year, right? I mean, they have three potential All-Stars in this team. I don't know if Scotty is ready to take that jump yet, but the fan vote will be interesting for Scotty.
Oh, I think Scotty will always have a fan vote, like, especially in Toronto. Like, even before – okay, this is me back to my experience at the Raptors game because I will never stop talking about it.
Of course.
But it was before they even opened the gate. Like an hour and a half before game time, before they opened it, it was 2 hours before game time, and they had already sold out of Scotty Barnes jerseys in the merch center outside.
That's mental.
It was crazy. Like, every single person in the arena, I swear to God, was wearing a Scotty Barnes jersey. which it was like Scotty, Siakam, Fred, but like so many people, like I would say three quarters of the people in that arena were wearing a Barnes jersey. So he, like, I think he's kind of like the new Kyle for the Raptors. Like, he is like the fan love, like he's the baby boy of Toronto now. Like,
he's already doing like Toronto Jamaican speech on some of his yeah. Twitch streams.
Yeah, like it's so in that sense, yeah, and I agree, like we do have the potential to have these all-stars, but it is going to be dependent on, like you said, like is he going to have like freshman flop, like is he just going to have the one first year blow it out, be unbelievable, and then is he going to be able to carry the momentum, especially with all these expectations? Like, he's got a lot more pressure on his shoulders now that he's already performed. People are going to expect him to continue and improve upon that performance. So is he going to rise to it, or is he going to fall?
You have the SGA thing sitting under everything now too, right? Of yeah. The Raptors monitoring that situation. We don't know where SGA said his mindset is. He signed a long-term deal and he's there. But people always say that, right? Donovan Mitchell said he wanted to be a Jazz.
Yeah.
Right? So that people always say that stuff, say the right things. SGA being Canadian. And this is the one thing that works for the Raptors, unlike, you know, maybe even a Heat, right? Where the Heat's best asset they could probably trade is Duncan Robinson. The Raptors have good players that are ready to get traded to bring in a super-duper star, to bring in an unhappy Bradley Beal, to bring in an SGA. It just depends when they want to do it, but they can trade an OG and a Gary Trent and maybe Malachi Flynn, for example, and still be relatively really good and bring in that superstar. And I don't think Masai's scared to trade a first round draft pick this year, when the draft being what it is this year and teams wanting multiple picks to maybe try to get to the top of that draft and have multiple chances, the Raptors aren't going to be afraid to trade away their first round pick this year.
No, I don't think so either. I agree. Like, I think Malachi would be a good bargaining chip for them. Obviously not as like a starting point ever, but like he's a good support. He's a good bench player. He can step in when like your stars need a break. OG, same thing. Like he's consistent. He's good. He can put up the numbers. But like then they're all still so young and moldable. So like they're the perfect trade piece for Toronto to, like you said, pull in somebody that is like a superstar that will almost act, I don't want to say act like Kawhi, but like look what happened when we brought in Kawhi, right? Like they need that experience bet with all these like skills to really.
Zai's not afraid to make those moves. No. Two other questions on the Raptor thing. Was that your first, that wasn't your first NBA game, right?
That was my first NBA game.
Oh, wow. So you don't have the comparison.
No, it was sick. Like, well, first off, I live here. Yeah. Second off, I went to school in Nova Scotia. There's no sports, pro sports outside of the lacrosse team in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
And I've only ever been to Toronto once. So.
And the Raptors weren't playing, I'm guessing.
Nope. No, they weren't playing. It was July when I went. And it was COVID bubble year. So.
Dang.
Yeah.
Soon.
No, I don't know. It was definitely, I wouldn't trade that for the world.
But. No, you never kind of forget your first experience. I mean, I had the privilege. I went down when Kobe retired. I went down to the Texas little run that Kobe did. So the San Antonio, last game of San Antonio, which turned out to be Tim Duncan's last year, which I didn't even know, and turned out to be a Kawhi's second last year at the Spurs, and then got to go to Houston as well. San Antonio fans, fantastic. They were really cool. Didn't like me wearing my Lakers stuff, but they were cool. But going to the ACC, I was there for game one, the one that the Raptors lost to Orlando. Yeah. And that was, I believe, the DJ Augustine shot, but it was a pretty great atmosphere. So glad that you at least got to, as an NBA fan, have that experience in Edmonton.
It's funny, like I was supposed to work, like I wasn't even going to be able to go, but then my friend who, I don't know if you ever knew about Diana, but she works for Fraser Valley Bandits, now the Vancouver Bandits.
Okay.
We met at CBL Championship weekend last summer. She knew that I was an absolute diehard, would live and breathe basketball if it was possible.
Yeah.
And then she texted me and she's like, hey, so I bought you tickets to go to this game. And I was like, I'm sorry.
For people to know, they were not cheap tickets either. Because I was looking at last second, me and some buddies like, oh, let's do the last second drive up. They're probably like $30, $40. No, they were not.
No, they were like minimum $250 a piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like crazy. So she was like, yeah, I bought you and I tickets to go. And also I booked a flight to fly out to go to this game with you. And I was like, I think that also just added to my own personal experience with it. Like, even if the Raptors had lost, I would have been on cloud nine, right? Like,
yeah.
But no, so that was fun.
Yeah. And now and my last question for the Raptors, as far as the fandom goes here, your favorite Raptor of all time, and who do you think is the greatest Raptor of all time?
Oh.
Because I have my answer for that.
Okay, so I think my favorite Raptor is probably DeMar DeRozan, which might be like a weird take, but
I like it. No, DeMar kind of started this shit.
And I mean, him, like, and like watching him and Kyle play together was just so fun, you know?
That's the only sour grapes in the championship, is that DeMar was a part of it.
And how the Raptors handled that whole situation was a little bit shifty. But he's like, you can't deny he's an unbelievable basketball player. It's been interesting watching him play, obviously, now the Bulls.
Yeah. Supposed to be a Laker.
Oh, sorry.
That was Kyle. So was Kyle.
I know. But now
then
Kyle
had the trade for Russ.
Yeah, but now Kyle gets to hang out with Dreadlocks Jimmy. So
he cut them. They're gone.
When did he cut them? He
got rid of them yesterday.
Oh, I was like, I swear to God, I just saw his media day with them all.
I believe the rumor was, talking to some buddies, that there was a wig and he was just fucking with people.
Oh my God. I hated everything about that. But
yeah, but he didn't have him for the game yesterday.
Well, I feel like they're too heavy to play in. Like,
yeah, well, the way Jay Crowder plays with his, even, I'm just like, I'm shocked Jay Crowder's able to do it.
Man's got unbelievable neck strength.
Like, no, Kenneth Reed. Kenneth Reed had those big ass ones too back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. Greatest Raptor of all time, though?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is going to seem like a basic bitch opinion, but like, I still think Vince Carter has to be up there.
So this is what I do. I say the most important Raptor of all time is Vince. I still personally think he's the greatest, but I understand people are going to have an opinion. But the most important Raptor of all time is Vince, because if it wasn't for Vince, the Raptors could be the way of the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Oh, absolutely.
The greatest Raptor of all time is Kyle. Probably, but the most important Raptor, the best player to ever play for the Raptors is Kawhi Leonard.
Oh yeah, but Kawhi was like a little bit of a league of his own. He was a necessary part of that championship. But you're right, and I mean Kyle, obviously he's like the golden child of Toronto. Even after he left, like his first game back there.
Vince was like Drake for Toronto before Drake or Bieber were around. Even like, Vince kind of put Toronto on the mark for an American audience.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I see where you're coming from with a most important Raptor versus greatest Raptor.
Yeah.
Somebody was wearing a Lynn Sanity jersey at the game.
A Raptors one or a Knicks one?
Yeah, a Raptors one.
Wow. Well, he did win the championship with them.
It's like, I have not seen one of these in a long time.
Yikes. I'll never forget that. Remember watching that game. I was at a house party and that game was just kind of in the back. I was like, what is going on? Like, who's this scrub when he came in? And then he just started getting bucket after bucket. Like, what the frick is going on here?
Yeah.
So respect.
No, it was fun seeing that jersey because it just kind of flooded all the memories back. I was like, interesting.
Yeah. A few other kind of things to note on here, because I just kind of want to talk about Elle's Raps experience and kind of just shooting a few things. Next week, we'll be doing over-unders and kind of an NBA preview season. So that's kind of what you can expect next week. I don't know if you were probably busy. You didn't get a chance to see any of the G League showcase yesterday, obviously.
No, I saw a couple of the highlights, but yeah. I ended up working and driving to Brooks. So
nice. All I'll say in this is, and we kind of talked about it, if you are like, if you have an over under and you are projected around like 22 or less, you are going for this guy because this is the best NBA prospect I've seen since LeBron. Because I've never seen a 7-footer do what this guy is doing. Last night, so he had 7 trays and 5 blocks. There's only one other person that's done that in the G League, and you're like, or the NBA in the last like 20 years. Yeah. They were saying, like, oh, who would it? I was like, oh, well, it had to be Dirk. Dirk makes sense. Maybe LeBron? Danny Green.
Oh, my God. No, I love Danny Green.
Yeah.
I really, really do.
But I got to give him credit. Funny. When he went to the Lakers, he stayed up in Canada and did the whole Canada tour for the Raptors after.
I know, and like he was accepted well by Toronto. It was funny. So after they won their championship and they were doing the Canada tour, like 3 days after I left Halifax, he went to my university and a bunch of my friends sent me a picture of them with him, and I was like, like, excuse me, I go cry for a little while.
I can't remember where it was, but I just missed him too. And I didn't even care him being a Raptor because I'm a huge North Carolina Tar Heel fan. And I was I just wanted to talk about Tar Heel basketball with him. But now he's a Memphis Grizzly, which everyone kind of forgot about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, you were like, what? He's a Memphis Grizzly?
I feel like in the last, like, year and a half, he's just been flip-flopped around between so many different organizations.
So he was a Raptor, and then he went to the Lakers, won the championship of the Lakers. Then he went to OKC for about 5 days.
5 minutes.
Yeah. Then got traded to Philly, and now he's a Grizzly.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if he'll play this year because he tore his ACL.
But it's funny. Like, Danny Green is a weird one because, like, he just went from, like, the Spurs – mm-hmm. And he, like, got his championship with the Spurs, got his championship with the Raptors, got his championship with the Lakers. Now he's, like, one of the most ringed players.
I like him on that Memphis team, too. Like, as, like, a nice vet to play with Ja and everybody, like, and be in that locker room to kind of rein them in.
Yeah, Ja's got a lot of ego, but he's also so young and he's so talented. And he just, everyone hypes him up, right? Like, him and Melo, like, they're these young guys that are the star center of their teams. Like, obviously, they're going to need a little bit of humbling and reining in.
One guy's really going to be humble this year because the Hornets, I think, might be the worst team in the NBA. They're really bad. Like,
but I mean, Miles, Melo, he's sorry, go.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, Melo's good. Like, he's so great. And, like, his rookie season, he was, like, realistically, who did he have on the Hornets that was going to step in and outshine him and be that star? Like,
no one. Well, Miles Bridges and PJ Washington, who are good. Miles Bridges, I personally don't think he deserves to play in the NBA again. He will, maybe, but last time I checked, because he pled non guilty to the stuff that, you know, with the child battery and spouse battery, and he pled non guilty. So who knows? It's the way the sports goes between the Deshaun Watson stuff and all that stuff. We're not going to go down that path, but he'll probably play again. So now he has really nobody on him. His second best player is probably PJ Washington,
which is like, and that's part of why the Hornets aren't going to perform. Is like, you can't run a team off one guy, especially when your one guy is
and you mentioned
the so young, like Melo. Oh yeah, like, I mean, I was saying this today, like, the Melo family is literally the Kardashians of the athletics world. LeVar Ball is literally
just well, I need you to break down then who each ball is then. Who's Kim?
But I don't even know if, like, there's a direct comparison for each of them, though, because, like, I don't know who I would directly compare aside from, like, I know LeVar is the momager, and then the rest of them
he's
are
Chris.
Just, like,
that's Chris.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
God, I don't even know if I know all the Kardashians' names.
I don't. I mean, I'm not going to forgive any. No one's going to be mad at me. I don't know the third sister's name, the one that's for Travis Baker. I don't know who that is.
Travis Barker?
From
is it Baker? Like the rap guy?
From Blink 182.
But not Travis Scott. Oh, it's the Kardashians on a sports podcast.
Because it's Kim and Chloe. It's Kim and Chloe.
No, it's Courtney. Not Courtney. It's
Courtney.
Is it Courtney?
So that's LiAngelo. LiAngelo is Courtney.
yeah, I can see that.
Then I don't know between Zoe and Mello, which one is Kim and which one is Chloe.
Oh, I think Mello has to be Kim.
Yeah.
I think Mello might be Kylie Jenner. Like not a Kardashian, but in the, you know. It's like an honorary Kardashian.
Well, if you do remember, there is a fourth Ball brother.
Yeah.
Little Dicky.
Yeah. No, but like, I would say Mello is Kylie because he's like now this superstar, like kind of outshines everybody in his family. Yeah. He's the only one with a job. So.
Yeah, I mean, you could make Zoe Chloe because unfortunately Chloe, she's kind of down bad a lot.
Yeah.
My mom watches it, so I catch a drift of stuff time to time. If only
so funny oh, to and me Zoe, that you know more about
and
the-
Zoe plays with Tristan. It all makes sense.
It all makes sense. We've mapped out the Kardashian ball family similarity.
Mapped it out. It's all good. But yeah, wow, I mean so for funny. Them, if you're the Hornets, you don't again, you're one of those teams this year. If we suck, we suck. I don't give a shit. We're going to get Victor Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson.
You speeding through the names again.
Yep. Well, I think the best part is like just the fact that you get to have anyone, everyone's going to love Victor. But if you get a guy on your team named Scoot, that's going to be the best. Yeah. The chanting ability for Scoot is amazing.
That's branding gold, marketing gold.
We've never had a Scoot.
No. Yeah. I feel like one that should have come up before. I know there's Scoots in golf, but like,
yeah,
interesting. No, yeah.
It's that part's going to be very interesting. I'm just trying to think of the last two things here. So the Celtics situation. Wait, how much do you think that whole I'm a Doka thing? And we're still kind of finding out everything that came up. Like, you know, Matt Barnes had that whole thing where he was defending I'm a Doka because he just thought it was a casual relationship and he cheated, which is still bad, but it was just like. Casual relationship, he cheated, that sucks, but like, why are we suspending this guy for a month? Now we're hurling a lot more of verbal abuse and other abuses and everything they come up. And we, again, I'm not going to get into that right now, but, and then losing Robert Williams, losing Gallo for the season, like, and then there's always that making the finals curse. Like, how much, where do you kind of see the Celtics? I mean, you're going to see them tonight, obviously facing the Raps and everything like that. How do you think they're going to, and then there's the Jaylen Brown stuff. All summer he heard he was going to get traded and he kind of reacted on Twitter to some Celtics fans and not being pleased with them. So do you think they're just going to be fine? Or do you think like them and the Suns are kind of in this parallel of two like scandals off the court and how it's going to affect them?
Well, it's interesting because again, like the Celtics did just make the finals. Like they are a little bit in the line. They were already in the limelight for having such a successful season. So I think, the fact that all these scandals are blowing up now, it's getting a lot of media attention, like a lot of attention generally, that maybe if they didn't have the season that they did and they weren't so much in the spotlight and so much being watched, it might not have gotten the same. It might not have blown up the same way that it has, obviously. And I think, and this is me projecting my own opinions, obviously, but I think that they might implode a little bit, especially with Jaylen Brown. Like, he's got to hold some sort of resentment to everything that just went down.
I think
down.
It's building
like,
up on Jaylen. Because he was better than Tatum at times in that finals. People didn't have that conversation as much, but he was.
No, JB was honestly one of the most consistent solid players for them and kept them alive during that series.
Yeah.
But, like, after you have a – honestly, he had a great performance, and then – all of that went down and then he got jerked around. Now he's back. I don't know if he's going to be able to commit the same way that they'll need him to commit if they want to perform as they have in the past. And I think it'll, for me specifically, it's going to be interesting to see how the management ends up handling all their other off-court scandals. And I don't, and this is my little bit of hockey talk here, like, it's, I hope they don't handle it the same way like the Chicago Blackhawks handled all of their scandal in the past, because it just ended up blowing in their face, and then it affected the team too, right? Like, there ended up being tension in the locker room there. Oh, can you still see me? Yeah, okay. There's like tension in the locker room, and there's tension on the court, and like, if the guys have any sort of issues with each other, or there's any sort of like unspoken unspoken issues or things that still need to be resolved, and the management has their focus elsewhere, like, I don't see them being as successful as they could be, even with the talent that they have on that team. Like, I don't think it's the same with the Suns, right?
Like, the DeAndre Ayton stuff from the presser, if you're a Suns fan, didn't have to make you feel good. Like, we haven't talked all summer. What?
Yep.
Like, and then you go and lose to an Australian team.
Is it like, there's no way these guys don't hold some sort of negative feelings towards their management when they're jerked around like that. Like, they're professional athletes, and they are doing their jobs, and like, they deserve some sort of respect and some sort of communication, and clear communication.
Yeah, well, and the Suns have the whole Robert Sarver thing going on behind them, right?
Yeah, it's just one thing on top of another for all, like, all these guys, and it's, I even like playing university sports, and I'm obviously not a professional athlete, but like, any sort of off field, off court, out of the sport issues that were going on, like, as much as you try to push it out of your mind, it's always there, and then you're never completely focused, and then you're never able to fully reach your potential as a squad. And I see that happening with both the Suns and the Celtics this year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's two teams that when you listen to the presser, there's a lot of stuff I didn't fully like from them. And obviously, you know, Chris Paul speaking up against the Sarver stuff. Now this team has a whole sale going on with them. And like, if you're the Celtics, like, so you have this guy that came in this year for your coach, is I'm our coach next year. So how much do I really want to fully give this guy my attention and my respect? Like, being a former athlete, like, that's going to be in the back of your mind. As much as people say he's not, like, it's like, exactly, kind of like a parent. Like, if you have a stepfather, right? He's like, you're not my real dad. It's like, you're not my real coach. Like, nope. I'm going to listen to you halfway because, I mean, next year you're going to be back to being the assistant potentially. I can't imagine. Yeah. I think the Celtics almost should have just ripped the Band-Aid right off. It's like, I'm done. He's out of here. He can't come back. Because.
But I'm curious maybe, as to who's going to step into that role. Like, who would step into that role, right?
Yeah. Well, I know they wanted Frank Vogel. That was the rumor for a bit, that they were going to just hire Frank Vogel and make him the head coach. And I think there was still enough time before training camp. The story broke, what, like 6 or 7 days before camp really started?
Yeah.
You could have just let Iam go, hire a vet like Frank Vogel, an NBA championship coach.
They're really walking on glass, though. Like, they just didn't want to commit one way or the other, right? I think that's going to be part of, like, they all have this shit going on off court, and like, all this indecisive parts and management, and like, honestly, just kind of poor management, that as much as it's not player specific, it all does trickle down, right?
Yeah.
So there's no way it's not going to affect their play.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the same with my team, right? Like, the Russ trade rumors are just going to be there all year. And I give them credit for not doing the trade, because I don't, LeBron and AD could leave in 2 years, and then you don't have a first-round pick in 27 and 29. That's just bad management, just to trade for Buddy Hield and Turner. And I don't think that makes you a championship-quality team. So you got to just try to figure it out. You know, LeBron's dragged shitty teams in the past. Anthony Davis is only 28 years old. So, you just got to try to figure this stuff out. But there's going to be – that's why this season's a really interesting season – more than a lot of seasons, because we have these two teams, like we talked about, with the Suns and the Celtics, that they have these off-court issues, that they're top-quality teams, but who knows what's going on with them. We have a team like the Clippers that are just loaded, but they are just terribly nervous about the health of their two-star players and how much are they going to play them. You have a team like Denver that could be unbelievable, but again, they're like, oh, how healthy is Jamal and Michael Porter going to be? You have a team like Memphis who is going to be a little bit of a backseat with Triple J being hurt. And then you have a team like the Mavs that are like ready to go to the next side and they got to appease Luka. Yeah. You have a team like the Pels, like how as well is Zion going to be? And then kind of with Brooklyn of like, again, everything that happened this offseason and how well are they going to gel together? I don't know. And then kind of going full circle, you have the Raptors here. It's like, hey guys, we're the picture of continuity.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, speaking of Raptors, like, I was talking to my uncle, who's also diehard, live, breathe for the Raptors. And we were talking about, like, the guys that stepped up that we were, like, impressed by. And not necessarily, like, these guys that haven't been signed yet, but just some of the guys that are coming off the bench and seeing how they were going to perform. And we were both saying, like, Precious, Delano.
Delano, people are taking a big jump for him.
Yeah. Delano impressed me quite a bit. Like, I wasn't sure really how he was gonna do, but I was like pleasantly surprised by Delano and also Christian Coloco. He had a little bit of a slow first half, but like the second half, he was so consistent. He was getting to the right spots. Like he was putting up a good fight. But again, like Utah's in a little bit of a weird space right now, trying to like rebalance. So. I'm really excited to watch this game tonight to see if like those same impressions that I got from preseason one are going to carry forward and seeing if they can keep up that kind of momentum, keep up those performances against slightly more, what's the word I'm going for here? Like the more competitive teams maybe is the phrase I'm trying to find here, but.
Well, we'll have a bunch of preseason games in the Bay by the time we come back next time, and we'll do some over-unders and get ready to preview this season. As we said, like there is a lot of interesting storylines coming in this season. And I would lastly say the one exciting thing about preseason right now is it's really cool to see Kawhi, to see Dame, to see Zion, some of these injured guys back in the court. And for Zion particularly, I hope that he is able to stay healthy and showcase off what he can do. And we'll find out. Well, enjoy all the preseason games tonight. Ellery, thanks for coming on for the first of many shows this year. And until next time, folks, cheers and enjoy the games.